This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
بسم الله الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى صحبه أجمعين إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا ما يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله اللهم صل على سيدنا ونبينا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم في الأولين وصلي اللهم وسلم وبارك على حبيبنا ونبينا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم في الآخرين اللهم صل على سيدنا ونبينا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم كلما ذكره الذاكرون الأبرار وكلما غفل عن ذكره الغافلون. All praises due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who knows what we reveal and knows what we conceal and even knows what the animals feel. We thank him, we praise him, and on him we have reliance. It is to him we only turn to for our true guidance. We ask him to send his peace, his blessings, his mercy on the best of human beings and prophets, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, on whom be praise until the very end of our days. And we ask him for steadfastness, guidance, mercy, and to never lead us astray, and for him to save us on judgment day. We welcome everybody, alhamdulillah, to this session of Jumu'ah Reminders with Islamic Relief. Inshallah, we'll be discussing Ramadan spiritual refinement. And the purpose behind the topic, and of course, is to prepare for Ramadan, which is less than, alhamdulillah, now almost a week exactly away, where we can start to reflect on what it's like for a Ramadan which most of us will probably have never witnessed before in our lives. A Ramadan which probably will be one of the most unique Ramadans that we will ever have. And a Ramadan which will probably make us feel a sense of sadness over things that we may not experience from the previous Ramadan. A Ramadan which will make us have a heightened sense of emotion because of maybe loss of someone that is dear to us before the Ramadan has started. A Ramadan which may make many people feel a sense of anxiety and anxiousness over what's coming. A Ramadan in confinement, right? A Ramadan in quarantine. So, what can we do to make this Ramadan a Ramadan which is not about physical confinement, but about spiritual refinement? How can we make this a Ramadan which we can rejuvenate and we can actually take the benefit and blessing of Ramadan, inshallah azza wa jal? This is what this talk will be, inshallah ta'ala, this Jumu'ah reminder will be, so that we can collectively reflect, inshallah, on that. Ramadan was legislated, interestingly enough, to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam at a time of also immense adversity and difficulty in the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The month of Ramadan was legislated to fast right before the Battle of Badr in the second year Hijrah. So right before a major event that would take place and the hardships that they would go through, which essentially the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the Battle of Badr, he would pray, "Oh Allah, if these people die today, you will not be worshipped on earth. Oh Allah, if you want to be worshipped on earth, then give these people victory." So it was such a hard time and adversity that they were just about to reach. And it's as if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted us to tie the idea of Ramadan being the factor that will help us overcome adversities and hardships and difficulties. That's the power of this month. That it was revealed for an immense, powerful objective and purpose, tying it between the difficulty and adversity and hardship that the Prophet ﷺ would face in his life, and Ramadan being legislated right before that. As if Ramadan is the solution to our answers and the calamities and difficulties that we're going to face. And this is also from the hikmah and wisdom of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that we're going through the coronavirus pandemic and Ramadan is going to come. Inshallah, Ramadan will be a means of lifting this coronavirus pandemic from all of us, inshallah, azza wa jal. So it's beautiful to reflect on when things happen in the life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and where we can derive and draw analogies to our lives, which is so powerful. Also, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala legislated fasting to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, a lot of us think that maybe it was when Ramadan was legislated. That's not true. In fact, fasting was one of the first and early things in Islam that was revealed to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the Meccan period. And I want you all to pay attention, in what context did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reveal the month of fasting in? The month of fasting was Ramadan, but fasting was prescribed before that. Was it a month? No, it wasn't. It was simply just to fast and to fast according to what will bring a person closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So I want you to pay attention to some of the ways that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tied fasting with Islam in the early part of Islam. Okay? And that is when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Meccan period, this was the early stages of Islam, he told the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam a story. And that story was the story of Isa and Maryam, right? Where Maryam alayhi salam was given the news about her going to give birth to a righteous son, which is going to be Isa alayhi salam. And she was so overcome with grief and hardship over this that she had a level of difficulty, right? And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted to strengthen her. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave her a fast. And this fast was told to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the Meccan period. Surah Maryam was one of the Meccan chapters, right? In this context of the fast, I want you all to hear what kind of fast did the previous nations have. And that, how was it given to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He told Maryam alayhi salam in Surah Maryam, verse 26, in the sense of her having a difficulty and hardship and this pain of what is she going to tell her people? What is she going to tell people and say, how, you know, you were such a righteous woman, how could you come with this child and you're not married? And it was just so much for her, this hardship and adversity and difficulty that she would have to go overcome. How would she overcome it? With fasting. With fasting. And I want you to hear what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had told her in the form of a message. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told her to say to them, فَكُلِي وَشْرَبِي وَقَرِّي عَيْنَا فَإِمَّا تَرَيِنَّ مِنَ الْبَشَرِ أَحَدًا فَقُولِي إِنِّي نَذَرْتُ لِلرَّحْمَنِ صَوْمًا فَلَنْ أُكَلِّمَ الْيَوْمَ إِنْسِيًّا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that it was told to her through the message in Surah Maryam, verse 26. So eat and drink and be content. And if you see from among humanity anyone, say to them, I have vowed to the most merciful, Sawma. Sawma. Sawm here, I'm not going to translate yet. Sawm, I'm not going to translate yet. I have vowed to Ar-Rahman a Sawm. So I will not speak today to any man. I will not speak to anyone today. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in the context of fasting and introducing it to the early Muslims, He introduced it in the form of the story. And the story described that Maryam took a fast. A fast of what? Not speaking. A fast of not only not eating, but back then they would not speak at all. So the relationship between fasting and lessening your speech is something very powerful. The early Muslims were given this message that she vowed a fast to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Back then, Bani Israel, their fast was what? Fasting from speaking. So when the people came to ask her and were yelling at her, what did she do? She just pointed to the child. And then the child, Isa alayhi salam, spoke in the cradle. And this was the first form of fasting being introduced to the early Muslims. The idea that the previous generations, they used to fast from speaking as well as fasting from food. So this was the earliest onset of how fasting was introduced to Islam. Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when then, like we said, they used to fast. They used to fast Ashura, they used to fast Muharram, they used to fast other days, voluntary days. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would tell them that whoever fasts one day for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will remove them from the fire of hellfire, their face from the fire of hellfire, a period of 70 years or more, kama qala alayhi salatu wasalam. And he would say the hadith of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, where he said that qala Allahu kullu 'amal ibn adam lahu illa as-siyam fa innahu li wa ana ajzi bih. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that every deed of the child of Adam is for them except for fasting. It is for me and I will reward for it. وَالصِّيَامُ جُنَّةٌ. And fasting is a shield. So when one of you fasts and someone says something obscene to them or attacking them, if someone insults them or fights them, let them say, I'm fasting. Meaning you're beyond me to respond to you. I'm here to doing this for Allah. I'm fasting, right? by the one whose hand the soul of Muhammad is, the breath coming out of the mouth of a fasting person is more pleasant to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala than the scent of musk. The fasting person has two moments of relief. One, when they break their fast. This moment of joy and relief, there's two that the fasting person has. One is at the time when they break their fast, and one when they meet their Lord and they see the joy of the reward of the fasting itself. So the Prophet ﷺ would give these type of reminders for people to fast and encourage them to fast. Until Ramadan came, became an obligation in the second year Hijrah, right before the battle of Badr. Okay, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in Surah Al-Baqarah, the verses of commanding them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, as you all know, the very famous ayah of the obligation of fasting.
يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا كُتِبَ عَلَيْكُمُ الصِّيَامُ كَمَا كُتِبَ عَلَى الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ.
O you who believe, fasting has been prescribed for you, like it has been prescribed for those before you. They already knew what the fasting was before them. Why? So that you may attain a sense of God consciousness, coming closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, coming close to Allah azza wa jalla. Okay, and then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes this month.
شهر رمضان الذي أنزل فيه القرآن هدى للناس وبينات من الهدى والفرقان.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, the month of Ramadan in which the Quran was revealed. So already you already have three main objectives of this month. Number one, the whole month is mainly about what? Coming closer to our Lord, God consciousness, being conscious of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's what taqwa is, to be a little bit more aware than you were in the past. And if you were in a state of neglect and heedlessness, to come closer to your Lord, okay? And it's the month in which the Quran was revealed. So the Quran is the main objective of this month, connecting through Allah with His words and with our words. How is His words? His words is the Quran. Our words is dua. So these are the three concepts Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ingrains. And at the end of the verses, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala follows it up with the other main objective we already mentioned. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says,
وَإِذَا سَأَلَكَ عِبَادِي عَنِّي فَإِنِّي قَرِيبٌ أُجِيبُ دَعْوَةَ الدَّاعِ إِذَا دَعَانَ فَلْيَسْتَجِيبُوا لِي وَلْيُؤْمِنُوا بِي لَعَلَّهُمْ يَرْشُدُونَ.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, if my servants ask you, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, about me, I am near. He doesn't say to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, tell them I am near. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala responds directly saying, I am near. Meaning what? Not even the Prophet ﷺ was the messenger for this message. Allah Himself directly responds saying, I am near. Not even the Prophet ﷺ was going to give that message. I am telling you all, I am the one who is near to you. And I respond, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala continues, I respond to the call of the one and the prayer of the one who's calling and praying to me. So let them believe in me and let them turn to me. I will guide them and I will grant them rushd. And rushd is what? When your actions meet your statements, when you become a person of your word. SubhanAllah, that's what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala promised us. So these are the three main objectives that Ramadan came with. Number one, to connect us to our Lord, divine connection, and to make us realize our level of distance from our Lord and connecting to Him, having a sense of awareness of our Lord more and more. Number two, to connect with Him, with His speech, with the Qur'an. And then number three, to connect to Him then in response with our speech to Him. The Qur'an is Allah speaking to us, and our dua, our prayers, is us speaking to Allah. These are the three main objectives of Ramadan. These are the three main objectives of Ramadan when it comes to spiritual refinement. The other aspect of Ramadan, which we're going to discuss inshallah, in great detail, is this is service to the Creator. The second aspect of Ramadan is service to the creation. Okay, so these are the two main components of Ramadan. The first has three main objectives. The second one is servicing the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, I want you all to pay attention to this. Ramadan, the word Ramadan, Imam al-Razi rahimahullah, speaks about its origin. Speaks about the origin of the word Ramadan. He says that Ramadan comes from the word Ramda or Ramad, which is extreme heat. And Ramda is a rain that which, it's a type of rain, they call this name, of a rain that comes in autumn to cleanse dust from the surface of the earth.
That's what Ramda means. Ramda is a rain that comes in autumn to cleanse the earth from any kind of dirt and any kind of buildup of any kind of impurity. In the same way, Ramadan, this word that comes from the word Ramda, comes as a spiritual rain to wash away our sins and cleanse our hearts. So just like this rain that comes in autumn and cleans the earth is called Ramda, Ramadan is the spiritual rain that rains down upon our hearts to cleanse and wash away our sins and to bring us connection to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in that purity. It's such a beautiful way, and that is why we called the session spiritual refinement, spiritual rejuvenation. This is a month. Ramadan is not canceled because of coronavirus. The blessings of Ramadan remain because whether we're in confinement or whether in public, the amazing nature of Ramadan remains in this ummah, and that's the blessing of it. And that's why the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Inna Allah azza wa jalla farad as-siyam Ramadan wa sanantu qiyamahu." Allah has made it an obligation to fast the month of Ramadan, and I have made it a sunnah, the practice of the prayer at night. Meaning this is from the Prophet ﷺ by the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. فَمَنْ صَامَهُ وَقَامَهُ إِحْتِسَابًا خَرَجَ مِنَ الذُّنُوبِ كَيَوْمِ وَلَدَتُ أُمُّهُ. I want you to pay attention to this. That whoever fasts it and stands in the night hoping in the reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, right? خَرَجَ مِنَ الذُّنُوبِ كَيَوْمِ وَلَدَتُ أُمُّهُ. They will leave Ramadan cleansed from sins like the day their mother gave birth to them. Like the day their mother gave birth to them. And that's powerful. I want you all to understand the powerful nature of this blessing. If we fast Ramadan with hoping in reward and standing in its night, we will be cleansed from all sins, major and minor. Why? Because you're not standing except to ask for forgiveness. You're not praying and you're not fasting except for asking for forgiveness. And Abu Hurairah radiallahu ta'ala, who narrates from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his hadith in Sahih Muslim, that As-salawatu al-khams wal-jum'atu ila al-jum'a wa ramadhan ila ramadhan mukaffiratun ma baynahun idha ijtuniba al-kabair aw kama qala sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said that the five daily prayers, meaning from Fajr to Dhuhr, Dhuhr to Asr, Asr to Maghrib, Maghrib to Isha, and one Friday, which is today, to the next Friday, and Ramadan to the next Ramadan, is an expiation, is a forgiveness of sins between them, so long as major sins are avoided. So long as major sins are avoided. So how do we balance between what I said to you in the first hadith and this hadith? Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah said that there are certain deeds, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because you do those deeds, you will be forgiven immediately. Number one, Hajj. Excuse me, before that. Number one, Islam, when you accept Islam. Number two, Hajj. Number three, Hijrah, right? And these three, if you do them, you are forgiven immediately. You are forgiven if you do them sincerely and you fulfill their obligations and their conditions and you do it the way you're supposed to do, you're forgiven. And he said, even if Ramadan in and of itself doesn't forgive sins like Hajj, but there's no better opportunity that you are more closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala than for in Ramadan. And in Ramadan, when you ask, of course, for forgiveness, when you're that close to Allah and seek repentance, then that will allow for your repentance to be accepted. That is why the Prophet ﷺ has said, whoever does it ihtisaban, whoever does it hoping for the reward and with honesty and sincerity, they will leave Ramadan as if the day their mother gave birth to them. SubhanAllah, the power of Ramadan. Okay? And the Prophet ﷺ said, fasting for 3 days each month, every month, and then fasting in Ramadan each year is like and you're rewarded for as if you fasted your entire life. As if you fasted your entire life. If you fast 3 days a month, and you fast the month of Ramadan, those 3 days a month are multiplied by 10 each in reward. So that's what, 30, as if you fasted 30 days the entire month, and then you fast Ramadan the entire month, it's as if you've been fasting your entire lifetime. This is narrated in Sahih Muslim. And he said, fasting the month of patience. He called Ramadan what? The month of patience. La ilaha illallah. Right? So among the greatest objectives is to build patience in this month. The Prophet ﷺ said this in Hadith Sunan Nisa'i, whoever fasts the month of patience, Ramadan, and 3 days from every month is like fasting a lifetime. So Ramadan and fasting itself is the school of spiritual refinement and discipline to build patience with our, within our own selves. And when the Prophet ﷺ said in that previous hadith that every deed of the child of Adam is multiplied from 10 to 700. This is because of the generosity of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When you do one good deed, it's multiplied by 10 to 700 based on your sincerity and the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is how merciful Allah is. And when you do one bad deed, it's only counted once. So somebody who's going to Jahannam really just doesn't want to be forgiven, honestly. Because Allah forgives so much, He multiplies your deeds by just you doing it. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when He multiplies every deed, the Prophet ﷺ has said, إِلَّا الصَّوْمُ, except fasting. Allah said, أَصَوْمُ لِي وَأَنَا أَجْزِي بِهِ. Allah, the Prophet ﷺ said that Allah said that fasting is for me and I rewarded. Meaning what? Without any measure, without beyond 700 times, beyond your comprehension and understanding. And in another narration, the Prophet ﷺ added, he says, قَالَ اللَّهُ عَزَّ وَجَلْ يَتْرُكُ طَعَامَهُ وَشَرَابَهُ وَشَهْوَتَهُ مِنْ أَجْلِي أَصْيَامُ لِي وَأَنَا أَجْزِي بِهِ وَالْحَسَنَةُ بِعَشْرِ أَمْثَالِهَا. He says that Allah Azza wa Jal, Ash-Shakur, the most appreciative. How can Allah be the most appreciative to His creation? Because Imam Al-Ghazali said that He rewards and multiplies beyond your wildest imaginations. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what does He say? He shows, subhanallah, the sense of Ash-Shakur. He says to His servant that my servant abandons their food, their drink, and their desires for my sake. Fasting is for me and I will reward for it. And every other deed, and every deed is multiplied by 10 times the like of it. Look at how Allah Azza wa Jal is appreciative. And that's why they said, if you want to have lofty character, simply try to mimic the way Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is so kind and generous with His creation and His descriptions. Among them is Ash-Shakur. Look how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is showing appreciation to us by rewarding us beyond our wildest imaginations. And in another narration, the Prophet ﷺ said, like we already mentioned, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala rewards fasting more than any other deed. Normal other deeds are multiplied 10 to 700, whereas fasting says this is beyond measure. And Ibn Hajar rahimahullah and other scholars, they mention about why this is. Why is it? So number one, that this fasting, there's no way for you to show off. There's no way to show you for you to show off. Now, alhamdulillah, we found ways to show off, right? People posting like, alhamdulillah, fasting was easy today when they talk about voluntary fasting. But in Ramadan, everyone's fasting. It's very hard for you to show off. Everyone's fasting at the same time. So the thing that differentiates between our fasting is the level of sincerity we have in it. The level of sincerity. Meaning what? You know, some people when they're younger, what would they used to do? When their parents used to force them and not teach them the meanings of Ramadan, what would they used to do? They used to drink when they were in the bathroom or when they would go elsewhere, or they used to eat privately or seek. And there's people still like this, right? And others who just make excuses. They're like, you know, I have certain issues and whatever in health. And in reality, they're fine, but they're just trying to make an excuse, right? So this idea of this level of sincerity that you have in your Ramadan is something between you and Allah Azza wa Jal. And Imam Al-Qurtubi says, because showing off may enter in all types of good deeds, but no one can see when a person is fasting for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the quality of their fast. So Allah connected it to Himself. He says He gives it up and gives up their desire for my sake. Ibn al-Jawzi said, all of worship can be seen when done and they be contaminated with some elements of showing off except fasting. And the second reason that what is meant by fasting is for me, it is because it is the dearest and most beloved action to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Ibn Abd al-Barr says the words fasting is for me is sufficient to indicate the lofty status of fasting over all other acts of worship. In the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, narrated in Sunan Nasa'i by Abu Umama radiallahu ta'ala anhu, who said that, listen to this, you should fast because there is nothing like it. This is a direct command of Rasulullah. Okay? You should fast because there is nothing like it in terms of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loving the sincerity that a person shows when they're fasting to Him. Now I want you to pay attention to this beautiful, powerful verse, this hadith of Ramadan. Abu Hurairah radiallahu ta'ala anhu narrates in this hadith that's reported in Musnad Imam Ahmad, he said that there were two men in the time of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam who accepted Islam. They were from the Qudaa tribe, okay? One of them, they defended Islam and they passed away as a shaheed in jihad, right? And the other lived for an entire year after them. Okay, so one of them became a martyr, a shaheed. And the other friend, even though they accepted Islam at the same time, they lived for an entire year after them and they also passed away as a shaheed. So one of the companions by the name of Talha radiallahu anhu, Talha ibn Ubaidillah radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he saw them both in a dream. And he turned to them and he said to them, I had a dream of paradise, Jannah. Like, may Allah grant us the dream to see paradise in our dreams. How many of us even dream about Jannah, right? That's already amazing, right? So he said, I dreamt Jannah and I saw these two men at the gates of paradise. He said that when I saw these two men, I saw the one who lived longer, meaning one extra year after the first one, enter paradise first. And then the second man who had died before him as a shaheed, he was then asked to enter after him. So he said, I woke up and I asked myself, I said, I was amazed. Why? The first one that died a shaheed was delayed. The second one that died like a natural death. He didn't die as anything other than just passing away. He just lived one extra year. And his friend died as a martyr while he passed away, a normal passing. But he lived just an extra year. So he said, I was amazed by this. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he went to him and he mentioned this dream to him. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, I want you all to listen to hear what he says. He said, أَلَيْسَ قَدْ صَامَ بَعْدَهُ رَمَضَانَ وَصَلَّى سِتَّةَ الْآلَافِ رَكَعَةَ أَوْ كَذَا وَكَذَا رَكَعَةَ صَلَاةَ السُنَّةَ. And he said to them, did he not fast the month of Ramadan after him? Meaning he lived for another year, he got a chance to fast the month of Ramadan. And he prayed over 6,000 or more rak'ah prayers, meaning over the course of this year. And another narration, he said, alayhi salatu wasalam, that the one that entered after him and the one that entered before him, even though the one that entered after was a shaheed, and the one that entered before simply got a chance to fast Ramadan more and passed away a natural death, the Prophet says, فَلَمَّا بَيْنَهُمَا أَبْعَدُ مَا بَيْنَ السَّمَاءِ وَالْأَرْضِ. The distance between them and heavens is greater than the distance between the heavens and the earth. The greater than the distance between the heavens and the earth. Speaking to you about how powerful and amazing it is just for you to have the opportunity and the blessing to be able to fast Ramadan. Don't ever take for granted the month of Ramadan and being able to reach it. Alhamdulillah. So some of the things that we can do here in our time of focusing Ramadan in the month of that's coming inshallah in less than 7 days, and in the time of confinement, in quarantine. Okay, how can we take benefit from it in this month inshallah? Number one, cut back on things that are distractions. No doubt, cut back. You're on a Netflix binge, you know, cut back from that. You need to focus now on something that's more important. And you're like, well, I'm bored. Well, boredom can be filled with something that you only didn't have experience with. So people who don't read, what happens when they actually read a book? They're like, hey, this is amazing. I'm actually enjoying this. Because you never did it to begin with, right? So cut back from things that will control things that waste your time. So everybody's on a Netflix binge, but you can actually benefit from your time when you just focus on cutting back from things that will not be ideal for you to do in Ramadan. Number two, stop arguing with people on social media or WhatsApp or anything like that. Okay? Just stop the arguments. There's no purpose behind our arguments and forwarding. Stop being the news source for the dunya. People will get their news. You don't need to forward anything to anybody other than maybe beneficial reminders. And do not forward anything anyway you haven't checked yourself. Just a straightforward response. Stop forwarding things to people you haven't checked, and just because you want people to benefit. Like, for example, these amazing health benefits, and you don't even know if that's true or not. Drinking this type of tea or eating this kind of that. Don't worry about any of that. Forward that which benefits people and reminds them and are good reminders. Okay? In terms of our Ramadan refinement, number one, have a daily routine. Write down a daily routine. I will do this after Fajr. I will do this after the Fajr prayer. I will recite this much Quran a day. Whatever it is practical to you, write it down. I will listen to this tafsir podcast. Okay? Set a minimum of Quran that you're going to read a day. Set a minimum. If you don't set a minimum, what will happen is you won't do that. But if you at least set the minimum and you reach it, then you can do more. Let's say my minimum is one juz or half a juz a day. So what happens is when I reach it, alhamdulillah, I have energy. I actually want to do more. All right, this was my time to read, and then I will read again later. But at least I've done the bare minimum that I've set for myself. A podcast of tafsir. Listen to tafsir. Alhamdulillah, I'm doing tafsir throughout the month of Ramadan. You're more than welcome to listen and come join us, inshallah. It'll be on my Instagram and also my Facebook page. So you're more than welcome to join Tafsir Surah Al-An'am, which we're doing, inshallah ta'ala. I as well am hosting a Ramadan intensive you can sign up for, which we will have accountability as well as the tafsir of Surah Taha and going through this book, which is called Disciplining the Soul, Tib al-Ruhani. You're more than welcome to sign up for it, inshallah, where we can collectively 3 days a week meet and have an interactive session of accountability, reflection, and spiritual development. But have a connection with the Quran, spiritual refinement through listening to a podcast of tafsir. And alhamdulillah, there's so much out there. Having daily dhikr and dua that you set, this is a time for that. For example, many people who are so busy cooking, don't make this a month of cooking. Like, this is not the month of cooking. I know people are excited about Ramadan food. They love their samosas and they love their egg rolls and they love all kinds of fried food. But just make it a point that this shouldn't be the month of eating. This should be the month of fasting, right? And give a break to especially the lady folk in the house who work tirelessly every single day cooking and cleaning. This is not the sunnah of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. They also deserve to sit and relax and to focus on their Ramadan, especially during the time of breaking the fast. What happens is everybody's rushing in the kitchen. This is the time the Prophet ﷺ said that the moment when a fasting person breaks their fast is a time when dua is accepted. So if you're in the kitchen, you should be making dua. Make dua while you work, while you put the rice, while you put this, while you serve people. Just make dua. And don't bother people in general. Or at the essence, the entire family should go and help one another during this time. And also, I give you good news because you're like, okay, I'm busy at that time. The Prophet ﷺ said also in another hadith that the dua of a fasting person is accepted. So the entire day is a time dua is accepted for the fasting person, not only the time of breaking the fast. That's another hadith. Both of the hadith are authentic. So, when you have dailies, daily routines, you're not overwhelmed and you have a plan, okay? And when it comes to Ramadan outreach opportunities, you can, for example, sign up for all these organizations that are doing relief work and giving food to, for example, healthcare and essential workers and relief workers. You can do that. You can, for example, in a safe and social distancing way, offer food to your neighbors, your non-Muslim neighbors or your friends or your Muslim friends and neighbors who are around you, giving and sharing with each other, inshallah ta'ala, in this moment of quarantine and confinement. We can still maintain a sense of social togetherness and coming together. For example, having a collective iftar, everybody in their home, but you're on, for example, online on one of those apps where you can have your entire family just, be together. And one person can give adhan online, and then you can all share and eat and break your fast and do your dua, inshallah, together as a family or friends so that you can at least not be isolated, even though in this time of confinement, inshallah. You want to also remember that the Prophet ﷺ was one of the most generous in Ramadan. Ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhuma, he reports that the Prophet ﷺ كان رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم أجود الناس وكان أجود ما يكون في رمضان حين يلقاه جبريل وكان جبريل يلقاه في كل ليلة من رمضان فيدارسه القرآن فلا رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم حين يلقاه جبريل أجود بالخير من الريح المرسلة. Ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he said that the Prophet ﷺ was the most generous of people. And he was the most generous during the month of Ramadan. So even though he was the most generous in Ramadan, he was extra generous. And when Jibreel visited him every night and recited the Quran to him, during this period, the generosity of the Prophet ﷺ became even more than the rain that, or the wind that brings about that beautiful breeze. He was like a rih mursala, with that beautiful breeze and benefit that comes to you. So the idea is, listen, my brothers and sisters, there's so much out there. I want you all to put something that's practical. And that is, every time you see something good, try to donate, even if it's £1 or £2 or dollars or whatever. Even if it's just little. But that little means what? I'm still giving in generosity. And then have, alhamdulillah, things that you give regularly and make it a point where, alhamdulillah, now there's apps, there's Launch Good, there's Islamic Relief. There's so much out there where you can benefit by giving daily, alhamdulillah, and you can set it on the website. If you go to the Islamic Relief website, you can set a daily amount where every single day you will be able to give to the charity. And alhamdulillah, if you forget, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will bless you and reward you. But alhamdulillah, now these websites have features where every day there's an amount that's given to people that need it. So there's not a day in Ramadan except that you've given in charity, inshallah ta'ala. So with that, the Prophet ﷺ also mentions to us something so beautiful and powerful, and we'll finish and end with this inshallah azawajal. And that is what Ibn Rajab rahimahullah comments on. He says that Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu mentioned that the Prophet ﷺ would give good news and glad tidings to his companions on the arrival of Ramadan. This is an authentic hadith that's narrated by Muslim Imam Ahmad and Sunan Nasa'i. Where Abu Hurairah radiallahu ta'ala anhu said, لما حضر رمضان قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يبشر أصحابه آتاكم رمضان شهر مبارك فرض الله عز وجل عليكم صيامه تفتح فيه أبواب السماء وتغلق فيه أبواب الجحيم وتغل فيه مردة الشياطين لله فيه ليلة خير من ألف شهر من حرم خيرها من حرم خيرها فقد حرم. The Prophet ﷺ would give this good news to his companions when Ramadan arrived. That first day, the first moment of Ramadan, the Prophet ﷺ would tell them, there has come to you Ramadan, a blessed month. Meaning regardless of coronavirus pandemic, regardless of what's going on in the world, regardless of the hardships and calamities every single person individually faces, the sense of loneliness, the sense of something they want, a sense of being disappointed by others, this month remains blessed for you. A blessed month which Allah has obligated on you to fast. In it, the gates of heaven are opened and the gates of hell are closed. And the devils, the major devils are chained, and in it there is a night that is better than 1,000 months. Whoever is deprived of its goodness is really and truly deprived. And Ibn Rajab rahimahullah, he would say, some scholars mention that this hadith is the basis of how people should greet with one another on the arrival of the month of Ramadan, saying, Ramadan Mubarak, Ramadan may be blessed for you. And then he says, listen to this. Listen to this beautiful statement of Ibn Rajab. He said, how can a believer be greeted and not find happiness with knowing the doors of heaven are opened? How can they not be happy? How can a sinner not find happiness in knowing the doors of hell are closed? How can an intelligent person not find happiness in the fact the devils are chained and help them overcome their desires? How can this time even be equal to another time? He said this in Lataif al-Ma'arif, rahimahullah ta'ala. And Ibn al-Jawzi, I want you all to pay attention to what he said. He said, by Allah, if the deceased were asked to wish for something, they would have wished for one extra day to fast in Ramadan out of the blessing of this month. How many of our family members who have passed away before, how many of those who have passed away this month, they would have wished that this Ramadan came and they would have just tasted the blessings of it, even if they were sick and they were not able to fast it. But the month itself is blessed in and of itself. Don't be of the person that takes it for granted. Remember the one the Prophet ﷺ has said, he entered paradise and has a higher level in Jannah than a shaheed, because he fasted Ramadan and he got to pray extra for an entire year. And the Prophet ﷺ has said about protecting the month of Ramadan, fasting is a shield. As-sawmu junnah. Fasting is a shield. So as long as you do not damage it by lying or backbiting or speaking ill or speaking obscenely or treating it as if it's like another day and you're just stopping yourself from food and you're always constantly upset and angry and you think that, oh, I'm fasting, I have to be an angry person. This is not a fast. A fast is when you control yourself and with a smile, even though you may have a sense of annoyance, your food is not in your body, the carbs are not going through your blood, right? You welcome people and you're good with them and you treat them well. Your family starting first and foremost, your spouse, your parents, your children, your family members. This is a fast. When you're smiling in the face of others because of the happiness you have in your heart. Not, oh, I don't have any food in my body, I'm going to act like Fir'aun. This is not a fast and that person has no fast. And they should. That's why the Prophet ﷺ says, Allah is not in need of a person to go hungry and to go thirsty if they cannot control their desires. If they can't control their impulses and their anger and say, oh, and they start screaming at everybody and angry because they're fasting. This is not what fasting is about. And there's no purpose behind fasting if a person is this way in this manner. And that is why it used to be a month which you worked on spiritual refinement. And the last thing I advise you all, inshallah ta'ala, is look at what you are facing in your own life in terms of your own personal characteristics. Are you somebody who's short-tempered? Are you somebody that makes assumptions of people? Are you somebody that backbites and speaks about others? Are you somebody that assumes of people bad things and then has an argument with them and start fighting and things like that? So these are the things that we need to work on. Spiritual refinement in the age of coronavirus confinement. Because you could be physically confined, but not spiritually confined. You could be physically confined, but your heart is so content and at peace because it is helping you grow and develop and come to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in a way probably some of us have never done so in our lives. Because Allah is forcing us to do an i'tikaf. An i'tikaf, as you all know, is an act of worship. The Prophet ﷺ used to dedicate the last 10 nights of Ramadan in spiritual retreat, i'tikaf. He would go to the masjid and his wives and others. So I want you to understand, when you are spiritually in retreat, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as if He's given us the entire month in spiritual retreat. SubhanAllah. So take this as a moment and an opportunity. And lastly, we also want to focus on the prayer at night. At least, pray in the night something. Pray in the night something, at the very least. And at most, you can gather with your family. Someone can hold the Qur'an. Someone can hold the Qur'an, regardless of which madhab you follow. And they can recite the Taraweeh, inshallah ta'ala. And you can pray behind them, inshallah azajal, the Taraweeh. You can pray 8 or you can pray 20. It does not matter. The madhab all say that it's valid. And they prefer that a person prays Taraweeh in general in a gathering, 20 rak'ah. But if you do 8 rak'ah, that's great. And make dua in your sujood. When you're in sujood, that's a time of dua. And you can make dua in any language. Any language, whether it's fard prayer or sunnah prayer, you can make dua, inshallah, in any language that you want. And this is the view of the three madhahib, inshallah, azza wa jal. And the Hanafi madhab said that it should be masnoon and in sunnah prayers, and also the view of Imam Abu Hanifa rahimahullah ta'ala, which allows for it anyway. So again, the idea being is make dua in any language, that nearness that you have with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Prepare your duas that you want to say in your sujood, when your head is on the ground. Fard or sunnah prayer to increase your dua, inshallah azza wa jal. So with that, when it comes to going to into sajda, for example, in the prayer, simply have like a table or something high. You can put the Qur'an down, and then when you get out of sajda to tilawah, you can pick up the Qur'an, inshallah ta'ala, and continue. You can do this by yourself, you can do this with a group, and it's all good and khair, inshallah azza wa jal. Do not, and I tell you again, do not gather people from outside and try to create a taraweeh in your own homes. This is against social distancing and this can lead to the spread of disease. This is a time of confinement. Okay, if you're in a building or in a house, etc., that are together, you can then gather in that particular vicinity. Do not create the masjid in someone's large house and start gathering with different people. This is not okay. This is not okay. It might spread the disease to these people, and those people will then spread it to others. Do not do that, inshallah ta'ala. Only within a building and family members and so on and so forth. No problem, inshallah azza wa jalla. If you're going to hold a phone when you're reciting Quran, then it is okay. Just turn off the notifications. You're reading the Quran, and mashallah, your WhatsApp messages are coming. right? This is not, it's not appropriate. So turn off the notifications so only the Quran is there, and you can hold the Quran in a Quran app, excuse me, on your phone, and so on and so forth. Women are allowed to read the Quran even in their menses. They just hold it between like a cloth, or you can, for example, have a Quran like which has a cloth like this. You see the cloth. You can hold the Quran that way, so the cloth is already there, and you can recite, inshallah, the Quran while even in your menses. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless all of you. Allah azza wa jalla make this a month of spiritual refinement, not one of spiritual confinement. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us of those that turn to Him and sincerely ask for repentance over the previous year. And I will end with something very powerful, inshallah azza wa jalla, that Jabir radiallahu anhu said. He says, don't make the days you fast like the days you don't fast. Don't make the days you fast like the days you don't fast. Why? Because these days are days of investing. Okay? So don't think, oh, I'm not going to change in Ramadan. Like, I'm always the same the way I am. Why does Ramadan have to be different? Why am I being hypocritical? That's all shaitan. Make these days special. Prepare for them. And the more you prepare, is the better you will execute. If you don't have preparation and your expectation is not there, you will not have a good Ramadan because of your preparation is not there. So prepare for it, inshallah azawajal, and make it serious. Make something that you stick to. So by the end of Ramadan, you'll find that this was a blessed time that you benefited from in spiritual refinement, inshallah azawajal. May Allah bless all of you. Wa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam Muhammad wa alayhi wa sallam. Subhanakallahumma hamdik. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless us all in this month, ya Rabbil Alameen. Allahumma aghfir lana warhamna wa'afina wa'afu anna wa tub alayna ya Rabbil Alameen. Allahumma a'izz al-Islam wa muslimin wa ansurna ya arhamar rahimin. Allahumma ansur ikhwanana al-mustada'afina fi kulli makan. Allahumma tub alayna wa tub ala azwajina wa ummahatina wa azwajina wa dhurriyyatina wa abaina wa ikhwanana wa akhawatina وأعمامنا وعماتنا وخالاتنا وأخواننا وذرياتهم وأزواجهم يا رب العالمين. اللهم ارزقنا التوبة النصوح يا رب العالمين. اللهم تب علينا وعلى جميع أموات المسلمين. اللهم ارحم موتانا وموتى المسلمين واشف مرضانا ومرضى المسلمين. اللهم اغفر لنا جميعا يا رحمن الرحيمين. اللهم ارزقنا العافية في الدنيا والآخرة. اللهم ارزقنا العافية في أبداننا والصحة يا أرحم الراحمين. الله grant us health in our bodies and prevention from sickness. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala prevent us from any kind of disease, and our loved ones and all those who are sick. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant them cure. Allah have mercy on those who have passed away and grant them the highest levels of Jannah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless them for the things that they have done in this faith and overlook their shortcomings and their mistakes by His kindness, by His mercy, by His rahmah. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us of those that witness Ramadan. There's a week left, but we don't have a guarantee. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow us to reach Ramadan and bless us in Ramadan and forgive us in Ramadan and make us of those that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, man sama Ramadan wa qamahu ihtisaban ghufirahu ma taqaddama min dhanbi, the one who fasted in Ramadan, kama qala sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and who prayed in Ramadan and who prayed in the night of Laylatul Qadr, then he has forgiven, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has forgiven all of their sins. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us of them that He says in the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned that they leave Ramadan as if the day their mother gave birth to them. Ameen, ameen, ameen. Wa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam Muhammad wa alayhi wa sallam ajma'in. Jazakum Allah khairan jaza. If there's any questions, we can take the questions. But I also remind you all to donate generously, inshallah, to Islamic Relief for the amazing work that they're doing in coronavirus relief. It is direly and desperately needed at this time. We're not talking about just the distance brothers and sisters who have nothing in this Ramadan. We're talking also about our own communities as well. Alhamdulillah, they have a coronavirus appeal that I really encourage everyone to give, inshallah. May Allah azza wa jalla bless and accept from everyone. If anybody has any questions, we'll inshallah take them. Wallahu a'lam. Wa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam Muhammad wa alayhi wa sahbihi ajma'in. جزاكم الله خير الجزاء. There's no questions, so we will see inshallah ta'ala inshallah some other time. جزاكم الله خير. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.